Turning your Bibles today to James chapter 2. I told Pastor David when he left, I said, why do you always leave on the ones that's like controversial stuff? I don't get it. But anyway, it seems like I told him. He said, oh, it's good. It's good. It is good. I love James. Love the book of James. We're actually, that's what we're going through on Sunday. Just like I've already taught this one time. I'm sure it'll come out different here because of the audience and then the things that we're going to talk about. But it is a controversial passage of scripture, and people talk about that all the time. You know, whether our faith is based on works or is it based on grace? And, you know, my faith is based on grace, and I'm going to work because I love Jesus Christ. Amen. And, As you look at this passage of scripture in James chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 14. And it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works, can such faith save him? And of course, he's wanting the answer. He wants you to say, no, it can't be that way. Okay? It says, if a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what is it? What good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? Good. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Senseless people, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Was it Abraham, our father, justified by works in offering Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works faith was made complete. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God, or God's friend. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for each one that is gathered here and online, Father, to listen to your word. Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture that James put together because his audience that he was writing to at the time, they thought all they had to do was believe. All they had to do was be a particular group of people and that they were saved no matter what. And Lord, as we look at this passage in our culture today, Father, I just pray that you would just help us. There's lots of people in our world today that says, all I've got to do is make mental assent to that I believe in Jesus Christ and that he died on the cross and that he rose again the third day and that he's coming again. But Father, their lives don't reflect those things. You are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords, and we're supposed to surrender our lives to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help us as we go through this passage. I pray that you would just guide and direct us. Father, I thank you for what Paul said. It's by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Father, we don't work for our salvation. Our salvation is something that you give us because of our belief in you. But Father, we do surrender to you. Father, I surrender this time to you today. And Father, I just pray that you would just guide and direct us through this passage. And Father, just help me as I preach your word. Just hide me behind your cross and let these words be your words. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, as I prepared this message, I listened and read and done all the things that pastors do to prepare. And as I was going across this, you know, this has always been a troubling passage for me. I'm not going to just beat around the bush about it. This is something that I've always wondered, faith without works is dead. Do I have works? And, you know, as I look at my life and as you look at these people's lives, I can see the works God has allowed me to do in my life. And you ought to know that too. And as we look at this passage, I want you to realize James has already said in James 1, 17 and 18, listen to what he says. Pastor David talked about this just a couple of weeks ago. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change. Ain't you glad God don't change? Man, I am so glad that he don't change his mind about Bradley James. I'm so glad that it's a guarantee, and it's been a guarantee from the beginning in Genesis chapter 3 that he's going to send a redeemer. You know, and look, he doesn't change. But listen to what it says. By his own choice. By his own choice. It had nothing to do with me and you. It was the fact that he created you in your mother's womb. And for Adam and Eve, he formed them from the dust of the ground. And you are made of the same elements they are, just in a different way. God formed you in your mother's womb. You are that special to him. Each and every person here that is listening in this congregation, but also online, each and every one of us have that guarantee. He chose to do this. He chose the way that you're going to be saved. So as we look at that, he chose us. It's his own choice. Listen to what it says. He gave us birth by his word of truth. By his word of truth. Whose word is truth? Well, God's words. Jesus' words are truth. There is no other truth except his word. Now, can I speak truth? Absolutely. And I'm speaking his word. I can be truthful. I can base my whole life upon this word right here. His word is truth. Okay? Listen again. It says, by the word of truth, so that we would be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. The first fruits. You think about Abraham. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I want you to just think about it. It all begun, this relationship with God and all these promises that we're able to partake of today is because of Abraham and his covenant with Abraham. And Abraham accepted that. But by his own choice. Think about what that means. We had nothing to do with God's choice. He chose you. Whoever will believe. Whoever will put their faith in him. It was his choice to save you. It was his choice. And it's done by the word of truth. Okay? So, every person can accept God's gift. There's not a person out there that cannot accept it. Now, some of them don't know about it. But there's not a person out there that can, you know, we're going to look at a person here in just a little bit. And we'll talk more about that. But every person, the smallest amount of faith can save. Faith alone saves. We're going to talk about works today, I promise. But it's by faith alone that saves. It's a gift from God. Every other religion in this world, you have to do something to receive salvation. Or you have to work your way into a place to where whatever God it is that you serve, whatever variety that you scoop into your bowl, as I heard it said this week. But with a Christian faith, it's done. It's not something you do. It's already done because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Jesus Christ took your punishment on that cross for your sins. There's no other way that you can be good enough to go to heaven. You can't work. You can't do enough good deeds because Isaiah says that our works are as filthy rags. The things that we do, we cannot earn our way into heaven. There is no possible way that you can do enough good to make it there. You may be a good person. I heard that a lot in my life. Well, I'm a good person. I do this, this, and this. And those people down there in that church, they don't even help their neighbor. But guys, let me tell you something. Our goodness is nothing compared to what God is. He's holy. He's separate. Every one of us ought to see that we're all sinful. Every one of us. Faith alone saves. So James has a challenge for us to look at. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. It says there, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" And I told you what James is looking for an answer there. He's looking for an answer that says, no, absolutely not. Not just mere words. Confessing a certain thing will save you. But it'll be backed up by the things that you do. I thought of it this way. When Peter, James, and John, when they and their, was it their brother, Andrew, that when Jesus called them, he said, come and follow me. What did they have to do? They left the things that they knew. They left the things that they were comfortable with. They left the things there and they went with Jesus. You know, some of us have had our lives redirected by God. Actually, all of us ought to have our lives redirected by God. Does that mean that every person's going to be a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a children's worker? No. But what it does mean that you let God make that decision for you. Okay? When I was 29 years old, God said, I want you to preach. And I said, nope. Nope. Go to church every Sunday. I'll be a deacon at Morgan Baptist Church. I'll teach the Sunday school class. Nope, not going to preach. And guys, Don Young was our pastor at that time. And every Sunday, he just drilled me and drilled me and drilled me. For a couple of months, my uncle Lonnie would say, well, you didn't hold out very long. I held out for 2 years. I said, well, you're one tough dude then. Let me tell you, if that's how long it takes. But listen, James is saying that we will have work if we have true faith in Jesus Christ. What is that work? And we'll get to that here in a minute. So he says, can that kind of faith save you? And then he gives us an example in scripture here. He says that a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food. The one who says to them, go in peace and stay warm and be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have work, is dead by itself. So he's really saying, what he's saying is faith that works show love to people in need. You know, as I just think about the people in this world, and we go to great big gatherings of people, and I look at those great big gatherings of people, and I think, I wonder how many people of this right here, if the Lord came back today, how many of them would be saved? What about this auditorium? How many of us truly know that we're for sure going to heaven? See, you're the only one that can know that. But your works help you to know that. Why do you do the things that you do? Why does Bradley Jeans preach the Word of God? Because I love Jesus Christ and he told me this is what my life was going to be. He enlightened me and said, if you don't do this, you're out of my obedience. And if I'm really your Lord and your King, then that's what you've got to do to be in my will. Going to church ain't going to cut it. Teaching Sunday school class, nope, not going to do it. What about just telling people about Jesus outside? Yep, you're going to do that too. I wasn't very good at that for a real long time. I'm still not very good at it. People think I'm really bold. I'm not so bold. But people say in this passage of scripture that Paul and James, almost said Peter, but Paul and James are in disagreement about your works and your faith. Guys, I'm telling you, he's not in disagreement. I just read you the passage of scripture that James said that it's by God. It's by His Word. It was His choice. Did you catch all that? Because I'm telling you, we wouldn't be offered salvation if it wasn't for grace. We could never get there. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 16 through 20. It says, you'll recognize them by their fruit. It says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. And if you go up above this, he's talking about false teachers. But let me tell you something. It's a word for us as well, because we ought to be producing good fruit. Things that people say. Fruit benefits people. Jesus says that people are truly followers that have fruit or works that you can see. So you ought to be able to look at your life and say, yep, I hope you can look at my life and say, yep, Bradley James is a true follower of Jesus Christ because he does this and this and this. I'm not basing my relationship on my works. I'm basing it on the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. That's what it's got to be based upon. Will I have works? Yes, absolutely, because Jesus is the one calling the shots, not Bradley James. Okay, now I can reason through some things, and we have to do that as we go through life. I had no idea the path that Jesus was going to take me on. If he had showed me what all the things that I was going to do, I remember saying as a teenager, listening to a mission conference at Mount Zion Cuba Baptist Church, and the missionary saying, "You may be called." And I said, "No, I'm not. Out of here. Nope. Not ever going out of the country. I wouldn't rather be any place else but in God's will. If God wants me to go to Africa and he'll give somebody to talk for me, I'm all about it. And I got good brothers and sisters over there that love Jesus just like I love Jesus, and trying to walk this path of Christianity and walk with their Lord as they live out their lives. Folks, it burdens my heart so bad that we have so much in America, and those people struggle to know where their next meal is going to come from sometimes. It's so hard for us. And yes, we help them. We've done all kinds of things as a church and as individuals, and all that's good. But let me tell you something. When you know their struggles, when they text you and say, "Pray for me in this area of my life," they don't ask for money. They just say, "Pray." And I have more than enough each and every day. Paul says it like this in Ephesians 2, 6 through 8, talking about fruit and works. And I included a lot of scripture in here, but I want you to see, Paul says he also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That means I'm sitting there right now. That means I'm already seated with him. I'm with him. My eternal life started when I got saved. Every one of us, when we asked Jesus Christ into our heart and life, it began when you asked Jesus into your life. It began then. Now, just like a baby, you know, I told my dad this several times. What does a baby do? They make messes. They make messes of themselves. They make messes for you to clean up otherwise, and they'll never clean it up until they get to the age. And I'm not sure that even 7, 8, 9-year-old kids, sometimes you have a hard time talking them into cleaning up their own mess. I told Micah the other day, I said, you know, if this was you, or if this was Pete back when he was your age, there wouldn't be no asking from Pop. Dad at that point would say, "Do it or you're going to get your butt beat." Right? That's just the way it was. But now I'm nice and I ask because I'm a pop. Right? Well, let me tell you something. God don't have grandchildren, and he is your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords, and he expects obedience from his children. And most of us are old enough to know what God wants us to do. And we do fight back. But listen to what he says. I'm seated there. So that in the coming ages, God might display, Jesus might display the immeasurable riches of grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's God's gift, not from works, so no one can boast. Listen to this, listen real close right here. Paul and James is going to agree. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Do you hear that? Don't tell me that James and Paul are on opposite sides, because they're not. They agree that you're going to work for Jesus. And if you're not working for Jesus and you're working because you want the recognition, then you might miss heaven. If you come to church because you want the recognition, you don't want people to be disappointed in you, I have a sad statement for you. You're going to miss it, folks. You're going to miss it. Because it's all about what Jesus wants. We're supposed to come. We're supposed to gather. Absolutely. It says, as the day approaches, gather more and more. I think it's closer than it's ever been. You know why I think that? Because Jesus said he's coming back, and the longer I live in this world, I didn't think I'd make it to 40. Well, I'm 54. It's got to be closer than it was before, right? I tell our youth all the time, I tried to check out twice. It didn't work. Sometimes I think it would have been easier for me to check out and be in heaven. But I wouldn't get to experience all the blessings. I've got 6 little grand people that I just absolutely adore and miss them a lot. Okay? He says, not from work, that for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Listen to this. Which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So he knew what Bradley James, what his plan was for Bradley James. Bradley James has just got to yield. Bradley James has got to be the servant. Bradley James has got to be the slave, actually. Okay? That's what it says. There are so many people that say, look what I'm doing for God. Look what I'm doing for God. I don't think we can ever say that we're doing enough for God. If we're, like I said, if we're basing, I base this on Matthew 7:22. It says that people said, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we do many miracles in your name? Listen to me, folks. What are they basing their, chances of going to heaven on? Their works. What they done. The reason that I'm going to heaven is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Jesus Christ rose again, proving that he was God, and he promised that he's coming back, and I'm supposed to tell other people, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we're up against. Now, I said not all of you would be called to become pastors or deacons or teachers, but you're all called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Every single one of you are called to the people that you're around, that's in your circle. In your circle of influence. And sometimes he takes us way outside our circle. I went to Montana this last couple of weeks ago. That was way outside my circle. It took me a long time to get there. A lot more time to get there than it did to come home, by the way. But it was a good trip. So, Paul looks at the root of your salvation. I love this. Warren Wiersbe said this, and it made so much sense. We can't see the roots of trees. We can't see the roots of things unless we pull them up. And what'd you just do? You killed it, right? That's the reason there's a parable about that, by the way. You know, the wheat and the tares, and the servants wanted to go get all the tares out of the wheat, and God said no, or the farmer said no, just let them grow together and we'll divide them later. But listen. Paul's looking at the root of your salvation, and James is looking at the fruit of your salvation. We've got to have our roots dug in deep. You know, the only thing, I go floating with our children's camp. I take the 6th graders, try to every year, if the river's not up or if the river's not too low, which it's never been too low because, you know, you're going with little people. And a couple of years ago, we started using rafts, which is a great thing. Took a lot of mental stress off of me. But you go down the river and you see these trees hanging out over the bank or in the river where they used to have land, but the roots was covered, but now it's exposed. And I always point that out to those boys and girls. Look at the root of that tree. Completely exposed, yet there's still enough roots for it to grow and hold all of its weight and all that stuff. And guys, that's what I want to be for Christ. I don't want you to be able to see all my roots, but I want you to know who my root is in. And my confidence is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, raised again and coming again. Okay? So as we think about that, He says that you will have fruit. Listen to what it says. Acts of mercy, listen to this. Acts of mercy are necessary evidence of salvation. So if you look at Luke chapter 19, 25 through 37, it says, the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan each had religious training, but neither of them paused to assist the dying man. Both of these men would have knew a scripture in Leviticus that we can read. In Leviticus 19 verse 18, it says this, do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community. How many of you do that? Right? How many of us have grudges against people or were offended by people? Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Listen, guys, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, those guys knew that scripture and they knew it by heart. They could have quoted it, right? But they moved over to the other side of the road and walked on by. Why? Because their religion would have said they would have been unclean if they had touched this man. Plus, he was a Samaritan, right? But he was in their community. He was a part of their surroundings. Guys, don't look down on people that is in your path. They may not have the same blessings that you have, but they're still an image bearer of God. They're somebody that God loves and that God wants to save if they're not saved. But try to help them. Try to help them build them up. See, both of these men would have defended their faith, but neither of them demonstrated their faith by their works. Only the Samaritan did that. Okay? I said he was a Samaritan, but actually he was a Jew that a Samaritan helped. So the Samaritan overlooked everything and done what? He should have done. And Jesus made light of that. So James uses the example of seeing a need, but not meeting that need as a way to say they had no faith at all. Can you imagine that? That they went to the temple every day, they offered sacrifices, they taught His word, but they didn't have no faith at all. As we're all sinners, I want you to realize I've missed the mark many times in my life. I don't know how many times I'm glad that God's not going to bring up all the things that I did wrong. I'm glad He's going to show me what I did right. But let me tell you something, your works is going to be judged as to what your attitude was in doing those good works. If we're doing it for Jesus, I believe that's the reason. But if we're doing it to be noticed, then we have a problem. See, they didn't have the love of Jesus in their heart. They didn't have the love of God in their heart because God, all the way back to Leviticus, tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. That's something that we're commanded to do, even in the Old Testament. Why? Because they didn't want to sacrifice their time. Because they didn't want to do that. That wasn't in what their job description was. Listen to me, Christian, you don't have a job description. Brother David jokes with me all the time, and he says, youth pastor and family life pastor with all other assigned duties. Well, that's you, too. God is Lord of lords and King of kings, and if you believe that Jesus is Lord, then you're going to do what He says to do, and if you don't want to do it, too bad, so sad, because that's what He wants you to do. He's the boss, and you're not. You know, as we go on down here in James chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. I didn't stand up here and tell you all day the turmoil that is in me before I preach. I don't care if it's here. It's more when it's here, but it's still turmoil for me to preach God's word. But I do it because of the love of Jesus. I do it so that his word can change lives. I do it because that's what he's commanded us to do. And he has commanded us to come together. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. No, it's not in the New Testament, but let me tell you something. That commandment is the only one that's not in the New Testament. Every day could be a day of worship for God. And in our society today, we've got to take time out to worship God. We need people in our lives. We are relational beings that need other people in our lives to help us grow. I'm so thankful God allowed me to have a wife that is a God-fearing woman, that she will call me out and I can do the same with her. Be humble when you do that, by the way. Bradley's not been humble a couple of times. All right. So it says, show me your faith without your works. There's no way you can do that. But I can show you my faith by my works. I can show you what I do because of my love for Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? I don't do it so I get to go to heaven. I do it because I love Jesus and I want everybody to love Jesus the same way I love Jesus. James makes a clear reference to the Shema, which was completely something that the Jews quoted every day of their life. Some of them twice a day. They would say, listen, Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, or with all your strength, it says. So they would quote that every day. But look at what verse 19 says. You believe that God is one? Oh, good. I'm glad you believe that. That's a good starting point. Even the demons believe, and they have an emotional reaction. They shudder. The hair stands up on the back of their neck and says, oh my gosh, there he is again. There's Jesus. Woo! I need to run away, but I can't. Demons believe. Listen to him. Demons do believe in the existence of God. Why? Because they were fallen angels. They were there before we were, right? They decided they didn't want to have no part with him, or that they wanted to follow somebody else other than God, right? Demons bore witness to Jesus being the Son of God. In Mark 3:11-12, it says, whenever the unclean spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. And he strongly warned them not to make them known. As I was growing up, I just didn't understand. Jesus here upon this earth, he's casting out demons, he's doing all kinds of miracles, he does all these things, but he tells the demons to shut up, right? We're not supposed to say that word, right? That's a bad word, shut up. I got told that today. But anyway, he says, don't bear witness of me. Why? Because he don't want witness from Satan's kingdom at all. He don't need them to speak for him. He wants us to speak for him. You are allowing them to take your place when you don't give credit to God for what's going on in your life. Right now I'm stuck in the book of Job, reading through Job, you know, in my daily reading. I'm not reading the same one you guys are, but in my daily reading, and he just keeps saying over and over again, but my faith is in God. My faith is in God. My faith is in God. He complains to God and he bears his heart and his soul to God and said, why are you doing this? Why are you being silent? But he comes back and he says, I'm yours. You can do with me whatever you want to. I'm yours. See, he had the right attitude about the things that is going on in his life. His friends, I don't even know what to say about them. Demons even believe in the existence of punishment. In Luke 8:31, they begged him not to banish them to the abyss. Remember when they asked to go into the pigs and Jesus had to give them permission. They even ask, are you going to punish us before it's time? See, they even know that there's a time of punishment. Demons believe all this, by the way. Us humans here upon this earth, there's a lot of things that we put out of our mind. Guys, we are to call attention to the fact that how our lives are supposed to be lived and why and what we're supposed to believe. Demons always submitted to the power of Christ. Always, always, always did they do that. James is saying that a person can be enlightened in their mind, even stirred in their emotions, and still be lost and separated from God forever. Listen to that. James is saying a person can be enlightened in his mind. There's people all over this country, especially in America, that they will say, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. I believe. But they don't have no intentions. I can worship. I heard a lady say this. I can worship God however I choose to worship God. Really? Then your God probably don't exist. Then your God is a false God. Because my God says you do it this way. You gather together. I can worship in my home. Oh, really? Yeah, you can. I do. But he also tells me that not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the day approaches. Your God may not be the same God I worship. Is your God the God of the Bible? I'm not bold enough to say that every time. But just because you believe in these things, demons believe and tremble. They have an emotional reaction. And folks, that in America today, they don't have an emotional reaction. They think they can do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, however they want to do it. Right? Easy believism is what it is. They say, well, I'm going to heaven because I believe this, this, and this. But is Jesus Lord? Is he the one that you look to direct your life? No. You said you're going to do it your way. If you say that, then you don't believe in the same God I do, because he says, come and follow me. Let me direct your lives. James chapter 2 verse 20 says, you're a senseless person. It says, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? We can give all kinds of mental assent. James was looking at people and saying, well, I can do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. See, he was dealing with people trying to institute Judaism on people, and that's the reason he takes this stance. He's saying, look, and we deal with any problem, and I believe that's what Paul was dealing with, and James was saying, they were saying, look at all the things I do. Look at all the things I do. See, they're fighting the same enemy. But in different situations. Different kinds of attack. Matthew 7:21 says this. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only who does the will of my Father in heaven. That scripture used to haunt me so bad. I don't know how many times as a teenager, youth person that I read the Gospels. But I'm telling you, that scripture right there. How in the world am I supposed to know if I'm saved? All these people were saying, they've cast out demons. I've never cast out a demon. Still haven't. Right? But the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. The one that does the will of his Father. What's God's will? For you to submit to Jesus. To you to be a follower of Christ. For you to let him direct each and every day that you live upon the face of this earth. And you're going to have some things. You know, every week we go to the jail and we talk to those guys in jail. And, you know, some of them's read the Bible. Some of them's reading it as we speak. But they just got to figure out they've got to submit their lives. That they are not in control. That we don't want to be in control. Do I get to make decisions? Absolutely. But I better be praying about my decisions. I need to be praying about my job. You know, before I understood that I needed to be a witness, that I was sent to Low Boats or Bass Tracker or wherever my place of employment was when I started working for Steve Leonard and doing construction type stuff, my mission field changed every day, and I loved every minute of it. Homeowner would come out and I'd get in a conversation and Steve's waiting on me to lay pipe, right? But he hated not to let me finish my conversation. It was good. I loved it. But listen, we do works because we love Jesus. We do things because we love Christ. Our third point. Faith that works is obedient to God even when we can't see the outcome. Faith that works is obedient to God even when we can't see the outcome. And we have two examples of that in this passage of Scripture. One of them was a Jew, one of them a Gentile. One of them the father of the Jews, one of them was an enemy of God's chosen people. One of them was moral, one of them was immoral, right? I love this part. I love where it changed. He was a revered patriarch. She became a redeemed prostitute. Both ended up with saving faith that works. Okay? Both of them. Listen to what it says. It says, talks about Abraham. What Jew wouldn't be proud of their heritage coming from Abraham, right? It says, wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works and offering Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works, faith was made complete, and Scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by his works and not faith alone. Think about that, guys. What can you say that you're doing in your life? And Abraham didn't say this about himself. But guys, I'm telling you, this isn't the only place. This is one of the last places you see that Abraham worked. Abraham left in chapter 12. He was called by God. God spoke to him. And then Abraham answered God. He done what God told him to do and left his country. He left all of his people. He did take Lot with him, and he took his father, and he settled in Ur for a period of time. But then he heard God's voice again, and he went ahead and done. He didn't know where he was going, and he just left. Guys, we don't know where our lives is going to take us, but I have faith in God that he's going to use my life how he sees fit. In my estimation, all I've got to do is focus on Jesus and make sure that I live for Jesus in every one of those circumstances in my life. And Abraham was doing that. Now, did he slip up? Absolutely. He went to Egypt when he shouldn't have went there. He should have trusted God, and he got in some trouble there. He told some lies, right? And then his wife even got taken away from him because of that. But as he was going, he always kept his faith in God, and he done what God wanted him to do. But he was a sinful man, just like you and I. You know, Abraham's faith is something that God credited to him even from the beginning. And Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he was credited it to him as righteousness. So Abraham's faith made him right with God from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to 22, where we're going to end up today. And that his faith had works all the way through his life. And the one James picks out is the hardest one for us to comprehend. But it's a picture of our God, the Father of Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father giving His Son, right? Every one of us have to give up our own lives. We have to give them up. Because if we want to, and there's a battle. There's a flesh and spirit battle going on, saying, oh, you don't have to do that to be saved. And God's saying, come on over here. There's blessings, buddy. Come on. Come on over here. Just do what I say. Believe me. You don't know the outcome, but believe me. I know what the outcome of Satan is. It's to destroy God's witness in my life. That's his plan. See, he can't touch your soul anymore, just like he couldn't touch Job's soul, but he can wreck your faith and make you not lead people to Jesus. And those people perish because they don't have the witness that they need to have. So we get to the place where Abraham is asked to go and sacrifice his son. You don't hear any arguments. Can you? I would argue. I'm sorry, when he called me to preach, I said, nope, not going to do that, Lord. I don't believe I have enough words. I don't know how many words I've spoken, but I know I've been here for almost 40 minutes now. Let me tell you something. God gives you the words when you put yourself up here. It's not me, it's Him. As you go through this life, He does that for you as well. Abraham went to the mountain God told him. He had everything there. He gave the fire and the wood to Isaac. And Isaac says, Dad, where's the ram for the sacrifice? You forgot something, dude. You're getting senile in your own age. God says, no, we'll provide. Can you imagine the conversation going up the mountain? Him telling Isaac the plan. Isaac probably was a teenager by this point. I can't imagine the conversation. Maybe he waited till he started building the altar. I don't know when he had the conversation, but at some point, Isaac got on the same page with Abraham. All right? It's just a known fact because he was tied up and on the altar, ready to slay his son. And God says, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, stop. It says in Genesis 22, 11 and 12, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, here am I. That's the way I want to be. I want to say, here am I. I don't like what he has to say sometimes when I say that. Then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. And since you have not withheld your only son from me. See, from that point on, we as see Abraham's works. We see that nothing was more important than Abraham than being obedient to what God's call for his life was. And he really did believe that him and his son was coming back down from that mountain. Listen to what Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 says. It says, by faith, when he was tested, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promises, and yet he was offering his one and only son. The one who had been said, your offspring will be traced through Isaac. He considered God to be able to raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, figuratively speaking. See, it was as if Abraham really did slay Isaac in that account. Because God seen that he was truly on board with his plan. Guys, we've got to be truly on board with what God has called us to do in our lives. And that's to be totally sold out for Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on in your life. All of us in here have challenges in our lives. We have things going on and we think, why me? Why not you? Because you're God's. If you're a born again believer in Jesus Christ, if you've been saved, always go through this with our youth. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, then you've told him that you are his and you're his servant or you're his slave and he can do with you whatever you choose. But glorify yourself in him. Glorify yourself in my life. See, that's what we did. And then he gives another example. Rahab. I love this story of Rahab. And it all happens in just a short amount of time, right? He says, I wrote this down. It says, Rahab demonstrated her faith by responding with her mind. She believed what God said and that God was the God of the people of Israel. And her emotions, she hid the spies of Israel. Just, can you imagine just coming in there and soldiers knocking on your door and you think, oh my gosh, they're here. And she hides them. And then she told a lie, but she would have done that. She would have been a liar as we all are. Her emotions, she hid the spies of Israel and she had living faith because she risked her own life and saved herself and her family, even though everybody else in that community was destroyed. See, she believed in her heart. If you go back to Joshua chapter 2, you'll find that Rahab, listen to what she says. It says, when we heard this, all the things that Israel had done, they crossed the Red Sea and all the things that they had done, the kings and everything on their way there. She said, we lost heart and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord, your God, is God of heaven and above and on the earth below. See, folks, let me tell you something. She was saved by faith in that moment right there. Her faith saved her right then. It wasn't when she hid the spies. That's the works that she done because she believed that statement right there. She believed that and it was accounted to her for righteousness. And then God delivered her just like the spies said. They go out and get her. Hebrews 11:31 says this, by faith, Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in peace and did not perish with those who disobeyed. Rahab welcomed the spies. Why? Because she knew that Israel God was the God. See, she had worshipped false gods all of her life, and she only had this little bit of information, this little bit of information that he had brought the children of Israel, delivered them from Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, defeated kings on their way. Remember, they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Can you imagine that little bit of, that's all she had. She didn't have Genesis to Revelation. She didn't have that. You and I are so blessed to have so much scripture, so much of God's word. And yet, what do we do with it? So faith that works involves every part of your mind, your emotion, and your will that results in obedience to the Word of God and His truth for your life. Okay? His truth for your life. I'll read that one more time. Faith that works involves every part of your mind, your emotions, and your will that results in obedience to the Word of God and His truth. So let me give you an illustration. David always does this at the beginning. I'll do this at the end. An old Scotsman operated a little rowboat transporting passengers across a small lake. One day a passenger noticed that the good old man had carved on one oar faith and the other oar the word works. Curiosity, let me concentrate real hard, led him to ask the meaning of this. The old man, being a well-balanced Christian and have understood perfectly the nature of genuine faith that James is writing about, said, I will show you. So he dropped one oar and just used the one called works. And guess what happened? They just went around in circles. Then he dropped the oar called works and just used the one called faith. But they went around in circles again, just in opposite directions. After this, the old man picked up both oars together and using them in perfect partnership, sent straight across and swiftly over the water. Then he explained, it's the same way in our Christian lives. We are saved by grace through faith alone and Christ alone. Dead works or without faith are useless, but faith without works is not biblical faith. And it will also get you nowhere. Genuine faith results in deeds, both pulling together, and always makes for safety and progress and blessing. Do you want that in your life? Do you want to be safely in God's hands? Do you want to make progress in your life? I do. Do you want blessings? Every one of us would answer yes to that. If I had a one-on-one conversation with you, every one of you would say that. Show me your faith by your works. Tell me what you're doing for Jesus because of your love for Him, not because you want to brag about the works. See, I don't think I do near enough works. Listen to what Jesus said. We'll end here. It says in Luke 9:23 and 24, then He said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of Me will save it. Do you realize that Abraham and Rahab both gave up their lives? Literally. Rahab could have been killed because of her faith in God. For hiding the spies. For getting everybody into her house on the wall. Literally, she could have lost her life. It wouldn't have mattered. She had eternal life at that point. But her family probably even had eternal life at that point because she had told them and they believed. Abraham was going to, the only way that his seed could go on was through Isaac, and he was willing to give that seed up. What about you? Will you deny yourself? Will you take up your cross and follow God? Will you make God Lord of your life today and let Him call the shots? Pray about your decisions. Do I pray about every decision? I pray about a lot of them. Sometimes I wish I'd pray more about. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank you for this day. I pray today, if there's one here that's struggling with whether they are truly saved, Father, I pray that they would make that their heart right with you. Father, that they could look at the things that they do and say, I love Jesus. I do these things because I love Jesus. Or if they've just been working and concentrating on their works, I pray that they would come and put their faith in you and not in their works, not in their own selves, but I pray that you would just help them to do that. If there's one here that says, I've believed in God for a really long time, but I've never worked for Him. I don't do things because I love Him. I just do them because I want to do things, and I come to church and I do all these things, but it's not because of the love of Christ. It's because I want others to notice what I do. Father, I pray that they'd come and repent and believe that Jesus died on the cross for those sins as well, and put their faith in you and love you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. I just pray for your will to be done in each individual's life today. And Father, I just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you come today?